The epistle appointed to be read for today, the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to perfection until the day of Jesus Christ. And I have the right to feel so about you all, because I have you in my heart, all of you, alike in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel as sharers in my joy. For God is my witness how I long for you all in the heart of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your charity be more and more abound in knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the better things, that you may be upright and without offense until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, the Pharisees went and took counsel how they might trap Jesus in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art truthful, and that thou teachest the way of God in truth, and that thou carest not for any man. For thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tribute. So they offered him a denarius. Then Jesus said to them, Whose are this image and the inscription? They said to him, Caesar's. Then he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, as always, the bulletins this morning, too, are for our instruction. And that I continually ask you to earnestly read and study what the bulletins have to say. There is some kernel in each of the bulletins which is necessary for us in the observance of our holy religion. Today, we have something to say about priests and monks and nuns and what they are supposed to be and how they are supposed to act and how they are supposed to present themselves and how they are supposed to present the Word of God to the people who are looking to them for nourishment. So please read what it says concerning priests and religious. There are no particular announcements today. As was said, that we are presently in the month of November, which is dedicated to the welfare of the holy souls in purgatory. They are holy, to be sure, even though they may be poor, but they're certainly a lot richer than we are, in that they know we don't. And that is something that is a wealth that is beyond comprehension. So let us pray for them that they may be given the grace quickly to enter into the the moment of reward. Too many of us do not understand what takes place when we commit sin. And somehow or other, we talk ourselves into thinking and even believing that for every sin committed, when we go to confession, all reaches its normal state. And there we are, free and going about life without any obligation whatever. Precious people, precious anybody, how wrong we are. If one single solitary mortal sin, which was no more than taking a bite into an apple, has brought about the complete chaos, devastation, and destruction, and war, and killing, and everything else that you can think of that's bad. If one mortal sin was able to do that, good grief. Good heavens. What about what we've done? And we think that when we go to confession and commit sins far worse than the eating of an apple, that we think that 10 Our Fathers are enough to set the record straight once again. How stupid we are. Every sin that is committed has a full-size price tag hanging upon it. And precious ones of God, all of us, for every sin that I've committed, I have got to pay the price. In this life, and if not in this life, in the next life. And if we think that suffering or sickness or whatever is bad, we have not yet learned what the place called purgatory is like. And you know, our modern church now understands the problem. So what does the modern church do about the whole scenario? The modern church has a problem with such places as purgatory and limbo. So what does the modern church do about it? It simply goes to the blackboard, takes the eraser, and tries to rub them out of existence. But any of us who have ever been acquainted with a blackboard, You can go there and use your eraser on the blackboard and get the chalk off of there, but the skeleton, the shadow of the previous writing remains on the blackboard, doesn't it? And for every sin that I have committed, I've received a bill for it. And I have to make that bill good. Is that clear? Do not think first, oh yes, the sin is forgiven in confession. But the amount of time, we call it the time of temporal punishment, the amount of time due to the punishment of that particular sin that I have committed, the time still hangs over my head. Is that clear? Now, I can work in this life for my own welfare by my prayers, by my good works, by attending Mass, etc., etc., and other things, etc. Thereby, little by little by little by little, I start, may I use the word program, of paying off this debt while I am still here. I can do that. I can do that. That I will get it all paid for before I come to die is most probably not likely. I might get some of it paid off, but that I get it all paid off before I die is hardly not likely, or probably not likely. I am able to make payment on that debt until the moment that I close my eyes eternally. At that precise moment, my ability to earn anything is over. And I immediately become dependent on the suffrages that are given to me by those who still are walking the face of the earth in life, who think to pray for me. And they will help me earn that which is necessary to pay off what I owe. We, you, me, have to start now to start paying off our own bill, if we can. And we, you and I, must think of those who've gone before. Now, in today's bulletin, there is something that I want you to memorize from word beginning to the last word. And we call that the heroic act. It is indeed heroic. We have to understand one thing to begin with in this, that every prayer we say, every Hail Mary, whatever, every prayer, every act of piety, whatever, going to Mass, whatever, 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 every Hail Mary will stay with just the Hail Mary. Every Hail Mary I say, among other things, has two very important features about it. Number one, I need something. The health of my parent, or my own health, or whatever need you can think of. Therefore, that need brings me to say the Hail Mary in order that that need may be achieved. That's intercession. I intercede, I beg to be given whatever it is, this, that, or the other. That's the one phase of prayer, among others. Then there is about that same prayer the ability, like for all indulgences, etc., because every prayer we utter has merit attached to it. It is that merit that comes from that prayer that I can take and apply it to what I owe Almighty God for the sin that I have committed. Every good prayer, every prayer said properly, every prayer said with the intention that prayer needs to carry with it. Now, the intercessory part, that which I intercede, Almighty God, is mine for here and now. But for the propitiatory part, that is the meritorious part, that which part which has merit, I have a choice. I can either keep it for myself, or I can give it away. And if I make, or if you make, or if we make the heroic act, what you call the heroic act, I'll just keep it to myself. Number one, it's easier to say that way. If I make the heroic act, I am giving away all of the merit that I am capable of earning and give this merit to the souls in purgatory. But that's not all. Listen, now comes the big part. Now comes the big part, and that is that I give away even the merit that is given to me in life by my friends, and the biggest part, I give away all of the merit that is given to me after, hopefully, I reach purgatory. And I keep absolutely nothing for myself. Did you understand me? I keep absolutely nothing for myself. That is the heroic act. And in so doing, my only hope is that Almighty God will give me the grace of salvation. Now, in making that act, which we call heroic, in times gone by, we do get a big gift for it. Every time I go, or you go, every time I go to Mass and I receive Holy Communion, and I have been to confession at a reasonable amount of time, I automatically gain a plenary indulgence, which I can give and must give to the souls in purgatory. Just imagine what we are doing. My dear people, our whole life must be religious. This does not mean that you have to live in a monastery or whatever such place to live it. You live that same life, but you have the cares that are normally yours in order to exist. You've got to go to work, you've got to go here, you've got to go there. But a religious observance has to be with you wherever you go, as your shadow follows you. And your whole life has to be seriously attentive to what you must do. We have no choice. We have not been given a choice. We have been put here for one reason, and one reason alone. I have put you there. You belong to me. I will not permit the evil one from snatching you from me. Now please note those words. I will not permit the evil one from snatching me, or from snatching you from me. He did not say that you or I cannot, by our own determination, snatch ourselves from his grip. In other words, I have more power. I have more power than does Satan, and than does God Almighty who made me, because I can determine to frustrate the purpose for my existence. These are dreadfully serious words. And how do I frustrate? You know, today, people, we are beginning to be alarmed at the number of people who do not believe in God. And we must be even more alarmed at how many people, let me put it this way, how many people How many people, even in this room, right here, right now, do not really fear God? And what have we been told? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. If we do fear God, why is it that we find ourselves being rather lackadaisical about what we believe, about how we pray, about how we act, or how we, everything? And we must worry, my dear people, that we do not take certain things that are done and take upon them, give them the quality of some kind of passport to eternal life. A satchel full of devotions, of going to Mass every day, of receiving Holy Communion every day, of going to confession every day, does not indicate that I have received that passport. Everything. Do you know, one Hail Mary coming directly from my heart can have, please understand my language, it can have more merit attached to it for me than going to Mass every day for the rest of my life, depending entirely on my disposition. Those are grim words, but we'd better look into the condition of our interior life. That's where it begins, my beloved people. It isn't in suffering. Life, religious life, is not dreary. You don't have to be dreary to pray. You don't have to be dreary to love God. You don't have to be dreary when you come into this room. If we truly love God, if we truly serve God as we ought, we just cannot but be happy and joyful, because we know what we're doing is giving Him pleasure. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass today, I'm sorry to tell you, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass today and I'm going to try to write this up for next week's bulletin. But the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass today has become a religiously political football. By those either on the right of us or on the left of us who have no regard for the truth. And the faith of our people, even the faith of some of our most religious people, is gradually being deteriorated by this constant game that is being played by principal players throughout. Please, my beloved people, pray as you've never prayed before. Almighty God cannot but address himself to the problem. When you shoot a bullet into the sky, the bullet can only go so far before it has to come inch by inch to the place where it can go no further. And then it must turn around and come back down. Almighty God can only take, even he, so much before he shows reaction. This is the month of the souls in purgatory. Give them everything you own. Give them everything you own. Keep nothing for yourselves. But ask them, ask every soul that you put into heaven. Ask every soul that you and I put into heaven. Ask that soul to protect you, to protect me, to protect those whom you love most. You know your family and relatives and brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and so on and so on. You know how they look upon what we're talking about and how flippantly they throw it about. Oh, well, okay, so what, you know, yeah. You know, that's just priest talk. Maybe it is priest talk. But did not God teach that priest and tell that priest what to say? My beloved people, do not be afraid. Do not fight depression. I'm talking to me, because I too am tempted to depression. I too am tempted to fear. I'm no different from anybody else. None of us are. But my faith must lead me through this darkness that we are in. Your faith must lead you through this darkness that we are in. Look at the street. Is that Bethlehem? Look at the street. Is that Nazareth? Look at the street. Is that Calvary? That is all I can say today. I may or may not be able to come outside today, so if I don't, please understand it. I beg you, dear people.